It's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, a very good morning to you. It's just 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday. It's the 21st of May. How are you all keeping out there across the Northwest and wherever you're listening to us here on your number one local radio station? It is indeed Highland Radio. And not wishing to labour the point, but we are in the election cycle. And the programmes are a little bit different for the next 9 days now. Because, as you heard Lee mention, and as you heard Michaela mention, and I'm going to do it now for those just tuning on, we continue our debates today. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we are going to Buncrana, or indeed the candidates are coming to us. Buncrana is a 5-seat local electoral area. There are 12 candidates contesting, and we have a number of them in today. On our panel, Finan Bradley, Jack Murray, Liam Mulligan, Kim McMenamin, Eamon McGee, Peter McLaughlin. It should be an interesting, robust debate. Good reaction to yesterday's local election debate, in fact, so that's cool. And you'll never miss it, by the way. Even if you don't get to hear or watch it live, you can go onto our website right now and you'll be able to watch that back or listen to that back. It's up to you. Also coming up after 12, and it's online on our YouTube and Facebook and X channels, it's our second Midlands... I still in my head, want to say Connacht Ulster, Midlands Northwest EU election constituency. Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, Dr. Brian O'Boyle, People Before Profit. Pádraig Tobin of Aintu's with us. Kieran Mullooly is an independent. You might have seen Kieran quite upset he wasn't invited to the European debates in RTE, but we are fully inclusive here on the 9 till noon show. Justin Barrett, one of the leaders, acclaimed leaders of the National Party, will be joining us too. So, as I say, that's John Bresnan's show goes out on air as normal, but you can tune into that as a sort of an online exclusive feature for you. Right, lots to come up in the first hour as well, by the way, including Community Garda information, where you hear the latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána Conor first here every Tuesday on the 9 till noon show. So I think it's Garda Grainne joining us for that. So stay tuned for that as well. That's been brought forward so you don't miss that out. Right, newspapers, went through them this morning and a bit of a struggle really to pick out stuff that I thought you might be interested in. But I tried. It's the Irish Times we'll start with. It's their front page. What do you think of this idea? An undercover heavy goods vehicle cab operated by Roads Policing Gardaí is to be deployed on Irish roads in the coming weeks to catch distracted drivers. The deployment of the vehicle known as Supercab is one of several initiatives being rolled out by An Garda Síochána in an attempt to lower the rate of road fatalities, which are at their highest in a decade. More than 60 people have died on Irish roads so far this year. Under the initiative, Gardaí from the Roads Policing Unit will operate an unmarked truck cab of the type used to pull heavy goods vehicles. From their higher vantage point, Gardaí will be able to see into cars to check for mobile phone use, a lack of seatbelt wearing or other signs of distracted driving. They'll also be able to see into the cabs of other trucks, something Gardaí and patrol cars are unable to do. Any suspected offences will be filmed by the Garda operators, sources say. So they'll literally be able to, they'll be filming down to you in your car cab. The new tactic is being introduced as Gardaí believe many people are using their mobiles or other electronic devices while holding them in their lap so as to avoid being spotted. What do you think of that initiative? The Irish Independent this morning. An arrest warrant from the International Criminal Court, that's the ICC, in The Hague is the thing the Israel Prime Minister feared most. Ever since rumours reached Jerusalem in mid-April that the court was building a war case against Benjamin Netanyahu, he's said to have become unnaturally afraid and worried, allowing the matter to dominate his almost every thought. The issue was an overriding concern for Netanyahu and more urgent than anything else, said his biographer. Now, it hasn't been issued yet. It's being sought. But the US President Joe Biden has called the decision for the International Criminal Court to seek an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as outrageous. The chief prosecutor of the ICC is seeking warrants for Mr. Netanyahu and Hamas leader in Gaza for war crimes, three of them, in fact. Karim Khan said yesterday that he believes Mr. Netanyahu, his defence minister and three Hamas leaders are responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Now, the idea being is the fact that they were all being sought at the same time. It's bad enough that they believe, Israel believes, it's bad enough their leader is being potentially an arrest warrant out on him. But the Americans seem particularly upset that it's being put on a level with arrest warrants being seen for Hamas. That it sends out the wrong message or something along those lines. The Irish Daily Mail tells us that a record number of immigrants are running for election, nearly double the number on the ballot in 2019. The Immigrant Council of Ireland has identified more than 100 candidates of migrant backgrounds running in the upcoming local elections on June 7th. In the 2019 local elections, there were just 56 migrant candidates, according to the body. I don't know, how do they judge this? Is it based on name and skin colour? Because I don't think that really necessarily tells the full story. But anyway, someone could be second, third generation migrant living in this country, but no longer a migrant, obviously. You get where I'm coming from, do you? This significant increase in the number of diverse candidates seeking election comes as public sentiment towards migration has changed, with an unprecedented rise in the number of asylum seekers and refugees from Ukraine coming to Ireland in the past 2 years. Now, the overwhelming majority of correspondence we are receiving in relation to our debates, and indeed some of the priorities set out by the candidates, which we do ask them in advance, are housing, are migration, and obviously other things as well, but they are coming out on top, it would seem. The Irish Daily Star, former cigarette smokers who vape are more likely to get lung cancer, warns new research. People who have stubbed out the habit but who use e-cigarettes or vaping devices are more likely to develop the deadly disease than those who don't vape, according to the findings of a Korean study. Corresponding author Dr. Yun-Wook Kim said, "This is the first large population-based study to demonstrate the increased risk of lung cancer in e-cigarette users after smoking cessation." Now, of course, some people are still perhaps leaning on the Royal College of Surgeons' conclusion that vaping is 95% less damaging than smoking. I don't want to piddle on anyone's parade, but there is increasing research coming out showing that replacing cigarettes with vaping does not mean that you aren't likely to get, does not mean that you are not likely to get lung cancer. It's quite interesting because there's far less people smoking and the rate of lung cancer actually is level or up. You would imagine, wouldn't you, with the moving away from smoking, that that would automatically lead to a fall in those very sadly getting lung cancer. But it's not the case. There's no correlation there, according to recent figures we covered here on this programme. The Irish Sun this morning, up to one in three jobs in Ireland could be at risk due to artificial intelligence, a minister has warned. A new report concludes there are positives to be had from the advances of Terminator-style tech. It's nothing like Terminator-style tech, by the way. But listen, the paper doesn't refuse ink. Terminator-style tech. But the study says workforce upheaval is on the way as AI takes over our lives. Finance Minister Michael McGrath, who commissioned the probe, delivered the news yesterday. He said up to one-third of employment could be at risk from the deployment of AI, but it doesn't mean that those jobs will be lost. Now, there's other studies out showing that people's productivity has increased dramatically in companies that have employed AI. But we use it all the time and it's being used all the time. Like, I had to make contact with Amazon yesterday, and your first contact is with an AI algorithm or whatever you might describe it. It goes through whatever it might be and then it sends your message on to the seller. You know, so already it's part of our lives. And also what's part of our lives, unfortunately, are scams. And just a reminder for you, we like to cover it on this show to try and avoid one person, hopefully more, getting caught out. This is The Mirror. A new type of sophisticated scam has emerged to target bank customers, with one well-known bank warning of a 32% surge in cons. Fraudsters are swindling savers out of thousands of euro as a result of a torrent of so-called purchase scams. These lure people to make payments for goods and services through a fake advertisement that appears online. There's been a 32% increase in purchase scams reported to it in the last year, according to Bank of Ireland. It issued a warning and told customers to be careful when shopping online. A bank spokesperson said fraudsters are capitalising on the rise in online shopping and lack of industry action. Now, I'm halfway through the article, and this is something maybe newspapers need to wake up to. I'm halfway through the article, and I actually don't really even know yet what the scam is. And in fact, I'm scanning down the rest of it, and it really is not clear. So really, that's just a page of waffle. Really important information, but not very well articulated in 2024. Because as I say, I've read that, and I'm not really even sure what the scam is. I'm sure we'll cover it in a different form down the line. All right, it is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Stay with us, our first guests coming up very shortly. Welcome back. In this week's Your Voice, Your Community, brought to you by Commissioner Mann, we talked to members of the Indian community. And firstly, we have with us Bobby Rao. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Fred.
And also Ram Mohan. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for calling up.
Morning.
Okay, right. Now, it is election time. Great time to be raising election issues, isn't it? Ram Mohan, tell us the call that you're making on those seeking the public's votes out there today.
Right, yeah. So the first thing is what I'm going to give, I'll give you a quick background, like, you know, where we started, and then I can tell you, like, you know,
go ahead, whatever way you want to do it, Ram Mohan.
Petition, yeah. So we started cricket in 2019, the first team in Northwest League. And then since 2019, we have been playing in different leagues in Northwest Cricket Ireland affiliated. Bobby Rao helped us in securing a ground in Limavady. It's like 1 hour drive from Letterkenny. So we started playing since 2019.
So the home games are in Limavady, effectively.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of, you're traveling almost one way, 1 hour. So we have been trying in Donegal County Council with politicians, with Northwest and Cricket Ireland. So things kind of, you know, they go one step forward, like getting a ground, but again, like, you know, two steps backward. Like, so now we thought, like, this is the time where we have... more number of people. Like, we started with one team, now we have five teams, including the youth team, under 11s team, and all the teams, they're traveling to Limavady and Strabane Academy. And so then we thought, like, this is the time where we should have at least some basic facilities like nets or maybe a ground. And we're kind of again working with Donegal County Council. They have some potential places, and hopefully, you know,
you want to see that progress.
Yeah, progress. But again, like, you know, see, it's every time when we I think, you know, we had the same challenge like before the last elections as well. Like, you know.
Yeah, so 4 years on, five years on. We're
five
here.
Years on.
By Rao, your background is, as well as being involved heavily here, you're a former professional cricket player.
Yeah.
So where did you play previously?
I played for India, and I played for Ireland, and I coached Ireland as well. So I was instrumental with, along with Mike Hendrick, to get Irish cricket to the test level, because we put the structure from right from the grassroots levels. So it was a long drive of 20-odd years, but we achieved our dream. Like, Ireland was given test status. So, I mean, the first match, where first test match, they played in Dublin. There were nine players who I coached from the age of 10, 12. It was a proud thing. Coming down to Letterkenny, Ram, you know, the Indian community has grown here. There's a lot of Asian population here, like of India, Pakistanis and Africans. Cricket is our religion back home. So the second and third generations, which will be wanting to progress forward, develop, unless you have a ground, traveling 40-odd miles and coming, especially in summertime, like the school holidays and all, parents are working, kids, it's very difficult for them.
But of course, Bobby Rao, you have to sort of make the argument too that there is demand. So with all the challenges that are there already, including the travel distance, which would put a lot of people off, the participation is growing, and it's grown from a single team into five squads, young men and women involved as well, over 100 individuals, very passionate and keen, and they're involved in this, even with the travel and the lack of facilities we're talking of. So who is to say how big it could get with the proper facilities locally?
That's what, as long as you have a proper ground, and when you see for the future as well, you can develop into international standard and bring international cricket to Letterkenny, which will be a big dream. And then again, young in Asians and the younger generation can aspire to play for Ireland. which is as far in the top level.
Like you're in no doubt, given your background, Bobby Rao, in terms of, you know, your professional background and your coaching and the achievements that you have in bringing forward cricket into this country, you've no doubt that if the facilities were here locally, this would feed into international Irish cricketers into the future.
Definitely, because that's my last dream, because when I came to this country about 30 to 45 years back, that's they asked me to play for Ireland. I played, but then I put the a seed of developing the youth and local local players to play international cricket. So you have a lot of potential here. And I know it's a minority sport, but unless you have your own home ground, which you can develop, coach, and do whatever you can, it is the most important thing. Okay, we to get into the league, we had to have a ground. So somehow I know Drummond Cricket Club, I've been associated with them, so they kindly obliged us to play league cricket there. Now it's nearly 5 years, and the travel and the team, I mean, you know how the players have to travel so far. Now with the traffic and all the commitments.
It just becomes a little bit more complicated than it needs to be, doesn't it? Roman, in terms of the space that's required, I mean, it doesn't have to be in the heart of Letterkenny, I presume. In the surrounds, anywhere. I mean, Limavady's a tight run, okay? So even if it's like within 5 or 10 kilometres or whatever it might be. You talked about some land being earmarked.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's county council. They're saying that they identified a few potential places. I think they're going to let us know, you know, how it progresses. But again, until and unless we get a ground, we don't know. The same thing happened, like, you know, before as well, like one step forward and two steps backward.
Yeah, okay,
so,
I get you.
Yeah, but again, like, you know, going back to what Bobby mentioned, right? We have two individuals from Letterkenny. They represented under 13's Ireland Cubs. And now I can see four of them, they're representing regional squads, you know, also regional squads. So that's a big progress without having a ground. And imagine if there is a ground in Letterkenny, things would be entirely different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to achieve that with what's there at the moment. And just, Ram, in relation to the participation, is it mostly members of the Asian community, or is it a mixture, or what? Is the current makeup?
Yeah, I think majority of them, they are Asian mix, but again, we do have South Africans, we do have New Zealanders who are kind of taking part. So it's kind of, the only thing is, the more you involve in schools, the more kids they're going to participate.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, the biggest challenge is, you see, we got like 5 or 6, or maybe close to 10 kids from Illustrin, and then we got them trained. But again, without having facilities, the parents are kind of, oh, look, you know, we have to travel 20 miles now, I think.
Listen, it's tough enough to do football runs just a little bit up the road without Limavady. And Bobby, in relation to the participation, obviously that would grow if the facilities were more to hand. But it's good, isn't it? You describe cricket as a minority sport, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. The more options I think there are for young people, because sometimes if you're not into rugby, athletics, GEA or soccer, you know, I mean, I know there's badminton and a few others, but there is certainly room, I think, another sport in this county to really grow.
Yeah, we can. The grassroots levels, we have seen one school already. We're trying to do a joint project with one of the schools. Me and Ram went down the other last week, met the principal. It was very encouraging. So we have to go down to different schools and sell the sport. So because I have that experience, I did that in Strabane, over 10 schools, I started cricket, so we can do that. So we want the local children to participate. So that's what, if you have a ground, you have a summer schemes, you can see them all coming down, and the local people, so cricket will take off. That is the main thing for us. So,
And Bobby, are you a traditionalist? Do you like these new forms of cricket's quicker format, shorter format?
Yeah. I never played.
Why are you laughing, Ram? Have I hit on something here?
I'm a purist. Because I bought in the old system. But the two formats of 2020 and 50 over games are good sellers. And we need, traditionally test cricket is the ultimate.
It's always going
ultimate,
to be, yeah.
But with the modern times, you got to move on with the times. Yeah. That's a 2020, like IPL has been amazing. And like Sunday in my home city, Hyderabad, the IPL Sunrisers played, and suddenly they showed, I got have a stand there, my stand, and suddenly saw someone hit a six, and I got all this your screenshots from back home sent to me, you know.
What a lovely honor.
So that is some, and you never know, like in years to come, if we have a ground and we develop and someone from Letterkenny will playing IPL there, and you
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
Those are the things.
That would kind of almost finish the story, isn't it? If you sent someone back, having achieved what you did there, come here, grew the sport. Anyway, I think it's a little bit like snooker in that, you know, with frequent tournaments, people's attention span is narrowing. And there's a space for them, but really it comes down to the long format world championship, and that really is the ultimate, and probably always will be, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, 2020 is exciting, and it's a family honor, you know, like you can start playing at 7 o'clock at night, they come back from work in a 3 hours game, and even here it's taking off, even Ireland. So that will be a bit of future to put something into the game financially. But ultimately, you'll have your test cricket and 3 day games, you know.
And I think, Ram, really, right, why we're talking, just to reiterate it, and you've said it a couple of times to be very clear, is, you know, the conversation has been happening within the council. There has been commitments. We're looking at things. That was before the last election. Now we're coming into another election, and we're really effectively perhaps no further on. So you're saying, especially for those candidates seeking votes, and there's a lot of votes out there, isn't there, right? Now is the time to sort of move on something. This would be a real... I mean, this is what local elections are all about, isn't it? It's about delivering for the people, and they go, well, okay, you're worth my vote.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's all about, like, you know, using this opportunity, and at the same time, kind of now we're at a stage where... we cannot grow any further without having the facilities.
Ram, how far up the ladder did you get? Obviously, we're here with a living legend here with Bobby Rowe. Did you ever reach, what's your potential reached yet? Or what was your peaking, your career?
Oh, right. I'm passionate about cricket. At my college level, I played at university level, which is kind of zone level. And then
not much really, Bobby.
Yeah,
is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but compared to Bobby, it's kind of.
Passionate. He wants to play it a little.
Oh, Ram, you're all right.
And I played at championship level here, you know, the second level. Excellent. So then I think, you know, once I came out of it, then we saw a big potential in Letterkenny. And
I think you're also invested in the next year. As much as you still enjoy playing, I think you're very much invested in. You see the future.
Yeah.
You just need the building blocks, don't you? I think that's it. And Bobby, you share that too.
Ram has done the hard work. But again, Fred, sport is a great vehicle to build relationship between countries.
Yeah, of course.
And communities, races, religions, you know, which I experienced personally in Northern Ireland.
A lot of us became cricket fans all of a sudden when Ireland started doing well, getting on that bandwagon. I mean, it's amazing. Like, everybody on social media was talking about cricket.
Yeah, that's right.
How long ago is that now? Probably about 4 or 5 years when it really sort of...
6 years.
Yeah, when it sort of really hit the headlines, you know?
That's right.
So it is a sport that will engage people if they're exposed to it.
And the most important thing is that... Ian Morgan, I involved with him when he was 13, 14. An Irishman had to go and win a World Cup for England.
I know captain. What was going on there. Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
So that's
listen, they've always been stealing our best players, haven't they? right, okay. Listen, anything that you want to say before we wrap up? Because it's been lovely having you in.
Our main thing appeal to all the politicians and all the people to see what they can,
get it over the line.
Yeah. If we can get a ground and so much we can put into the community, you know, and bring in a lot of economic development and other things, if you can bring international match. You
know. And I think too, Bobby, you made a very good point. The best way that people integrate and get to know each other, one of the best ways is sport. Because very little like it, isn't it? Because especially team sports as well.
That's true.
it plays a really important role in that. So very much, I think, in the council's interest to be investing in this area. So it's been lovely having you, Bobby Rowe. Thank you so very much. A cricketing legend off and on the pitch as well.
Thank you very much.
And also Ram Mohan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
it's been lovely it. Having you on. And that was Bobby Rowe and Ram Mohan. And that was part of Your Voice, Your Community for this week. They are members of the Indian community and very much passionate about continuing to develop. If you were to try and get someone with Bobby Rowe's experience to come in, you know, to try and build the sport here, you wouldn't really be able to do so, or you'd have to dig very, very deep. Yeah. So I think we're blessed here to have someone of his stature behind such a campaign. All right, that's an election one. So if you want a few votes, get on it. All right, Bobby. All right, Ram. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, Granny on Facebook says, as a child, we played cricket on Rasnala Beach. There was no club to show off your prowess. It's a great game. Well done for highlighting this. And also, we have Kevin on WhatsApp. Let's see what Kevin has to say.
Back in the day in Letterkenny, there used to be a cricket meadow down past where Victor Fisher's old house used to be, where Victor was born. Down by Hyundai and down along the river there.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for that. A great way to share your views as well. I mean, that would have been a tough message to articulate in text. So it's great to get the voice message from Kevin. Don't forget, you can WhatsApp your voice messages to 086 60 25,000. Now, a caller says, in 10 or 15 years, cricket will be the major sport, not GEA. Well, it's not always one or other. I think there's certainly a play for cricket, but I cannot imagine any scenario where the national sport of GEA would play second fiddle to another sport. I've been asked to let you know that there is a diversion in place through Long Lane at the bottom of Windy Hall Road. As the bottom of Windy Hall Road is closed, traffic is heavy, so you're being advised to expect delays. Right, let us see. It's time for this now.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Indeed, we've brought it forward a little bit because, of course, we have our election debates coming up after 10. It is Community Garda information, and we are joined in studio now by Garda Grainne Doherty. Good morning, Grainne. How are you?
Good morning, Greg.
Good to have you with us. Okay, we've got quite a bit to get through, so we'll start with the appeals, if that's all right. And your colleagues in Buncrana seeking the public's assistance as the investigator fatal road traffic collision.
Yeah, that's right. So Gardaí and Buncrana are continuing to appeal for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision at Buncrana Pier. On the morning of Sunday, the 19th of May, Gardaí and emergency services were alerted to a vehicle in the water at Buncrana Pier on Sunday morning in and around 7:30 a.m. So following a multi-agency search and recovery operation, the car was recovered from the water. One male, aged in his 80s, was sadly found to be deceased inside this vehicle. A technical examination of the scene at Buncrana Pier and Swilly Road was completed by FSA, Forensic Science Investigators. We're appealing for any witnesses to this incident, firstly, to contact us. Anybody who may have been travelling in the area of Buncrana Pier, Swilly Road and the shorefront between 6:30 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. on Sunday morning are asked to contact Buncrana Garda Station on 932-0540, the Garda Confidential line on 1800-666-111, or any Garda station. And I would just like to say, on behalf of myself and all at An Garda Síochána O'Connor, we pass our sincere condolences to that man's family, neighbours, friends.
Indeed. And all of us here at Highland Radio, I'm sure the listeners as well. In the south of the county, your colleagues investigating a road traffic collision in Donegal Town.
Yeah, this collision occurred at Upper Main Street, Donegal Town, on Wednesday the 15th of May. So lunchtime, so in around 1:55 p.m. So hopefully a few people may have been around, may be able to assist with this one. This collision occurred between a car and a pedestrian. So Gardaí have been in touch with all parties involved, so we're not seeking any vehicles or anything in relation to it, but we're just appealing for witnesses, really, or dash cam footage. The pedestrian was a child. They were taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for injuries. Their injuries are not life-threatening in nature, thankfully. So again, we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this collision or captured it in dash cam footage to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530.
And a road traffic collision being investigated in Burnfoot too, Grainne.
Yeah, this was a single vehicle collision. This happened on Friday the 17th of May, shortly before 6:30pm. And it happened in the area of Dromadooey, Burnfoot, so on the R239. This car was travelling from Muff towards Burnfoot when this collision occurred. The driver and three passengers were taken to hospital. They received treatment for serious but non-life-threatening injuries. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled on that stretch of road, the R239, at that Dromadooey, to make contact with us if they had a dash cam and were in that area around that time, or if anybody witnessed this collision also, we'd like to hear from them. And again, Buncrana Gardaí can be contacted on 932 0540.
Okay, now an assault in Letterkenny being investigated.
Yeah, this assault happened at Upper Main Street, Letterkenny, in the early hours of Sunday the 19th of May, so between 3:10am and 3:15am. A man was standing chatting to his friends in the street. He was approached by an unknown man who had come running down the street. This man, who was standing chatting to his friends, received a blow to the face. He was knocked to the ground. So we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed this incident to make contact with us in Letterkenny on 9167 100. Any relevant information can be passed to us in Letterkenny or again to the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
I mean, these assaults are scary, aren't they, Grainne? Because we know all too well, and it's been the subject of, you know, Garda and PSNI campaigns, so-called sort of one-punch attacks that have ended in devastating circumstances, obviously for the victim, but also the perpetrator as well. Their life is ruined.
Of course, yeah. And I think sometimes people aren't, you know, that's not forefront to their mind when these sorts of things are taking place. You know, and one punch can be fatal, and it has been fatal in the past, you know. And also, people have received life-altering injuries as a result of one-punch assaults also.
Yeah, okay, it's a serious business. Right, now, an investigation into a worrying incident in Lifford.
Yeah, this is a criminal damage incident. This happened at Coolatee, Lifford, in the early hours of Wednesday, May 15th, shortly after midnight. The residents in the house realised their car that was in their driveway was on fire, so the emergency services were alerted. The fire was extinguished. The possibility that this fire may have been started deliberately hasn't been ruled out at this stage, and so we're appealing to residents in that area to make contact with us if they observed any suspicious activity on that date or if they have any relevant information. We would appreciate anybody who can assist in any way with this incident. They can contact us in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Okay, and a criminal damage incident in Ballybuffet now.
Yeah, this occurred at Blue Cedars Ballybuffet on Sunday the 19th of May at about 11:40pm. The sitting room window of a house in that area was smashed, so we're particularly interested in any sightings of a lone male in that area on foot or on a bicycle around that time. If anybody can assist with information or footage, we ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074 9167 100.
Okay, and criminal damage also being investigated in Ballybuffet.
Yeah, this criminal damage incident happened in the area of Glenpatrick Park Ballybuffet. So this happened on Monday the 20th of May, shortly after midnight. Significant damage was caused to a car at an address there, and the sitting room window of that property that the car was parked at was also smashed. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed this activity, other residents in the area in particular, to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. If anybody travelled in that area of Glenpatrick Park or on the Donegal Road with a dash cam between 11:45pm and 12:15 that night, we also asked them to make contact with us, please.
Okay, and a burglary in Buncrana, which notable time of the day actually that this occurred, Grainne. I'm sure that'll come out during the course of the appeal.
Yeah, it's an unusual one, yeah, because usually burglaries, we're talking the nighttime hours, yeah. Usually, aren't we? Or there's a darkness, but this burglary happened at the courtyard, Buncrana, on Sunday the 19th of May between 11:45am and midday. So a resident in one of these apartments were in bed. They heard someone enter the apartment. They heard them rummaging through one of the rooms in the apartment. And this resident thought it was a family member that had returned home to search for something or something that they'd forgotten, they'd called back for. But this wasn't the case, they discovered later. Nothing was stolen from the property and nothing was damaged either. So if anybody observed any suspicious activity in that area on Sunday morning past, we asked them to make contact with Gardaí on 932 0540 in Buncrana.
Okay, now an attempted burglary in Burnfoot this time.
Yeah, this attempted burglary happened at Greenan View, Cairnshanna, Burnfoot. It happened in the early hours, just very recently actually, the early hours of this morning, Tuesday the 21st of May, in and around 3:53am. It was actually the Ring doorbell at that property that alerted the residents that someone was on their doorstep or there was motion happening around their home. So upon viewing the footage, they could see a figure on their doorstep. This figure was well covered up. They had a torch. They wore gloves. They were trying the door handle and they seemed to then search around the area to see had a spare key been left out. No damage again was caused to this property and nothing was stolen as entry wasn't gained to the property. We're appealing to anybody who may have travelled in that area in the early hours of this morning and it should be fresh in people's minds at this stage of the day. Hopefully we might get somebody to come forward in this one. So if anybody was in that area with a dash cam, we're asking them to make that footage available to us. And again, if anybody has any helpful information that can be passed on, we ask them to call Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540.
Yeah, a couple of things from that. And I'm not giving anything away. But how many people listening to the show have a key under the mat at the door? The flower pot just to the right or left of the front door? Maybe there's a stone at the side of the porch or whatever and the key's underneath it. You know, as I say, I don't think I'm giving any burglars any tips here because we're all the same. And also to the importance there of having the doorbell camera as well. And we've talked about this before. They're not cheap, but they are affordable for a lot of people.
Yeah, and this would actually highlight the importance of having added security at your home also. You know, the benefit of having that doorbell camera that they have this person on footage. We have an exact time that it happened. And as you say, look, I think there are far too many people leaving spare keys out and it is a done thing. And I suppose if you're used leaving a spare key out for Johnny or Mary or whoever's out for the night and you leave a key out and you've done this for years, your home hasn't been broken into, you become blasé about it then and you know, you just keep doing it. But we would advise people never leave a spare key out. These people aren't stupid. They know, as you say, they check on the flower pot, under the mat, under a stone on the windowsill. It's all the usual places, you know. So please don't do that. Don't keep spare keys outside.
No, because what this has shown us is this person, at least it appears that way, the investigation is ongoing. That's precisely what they were expecting. And if they'd have found it, instant access to the house and your goodies gone. Right, okay. Now, finally, we have new legislation in place to regulate the use of e-bikes, e-scooters, e-mopeds. It came into effect yesterday.
Yeah, so the Road Traffic and Road Traffic Act 2023 introduced legal categories for light electric vehicles. So that would cover, as you said, e-bikes, e-scooters and e-mopeds. Light electric vehicles are battery-powered zero-emission vehicles such as e-scooters and e-bikes. So from yesterday, 20th of May, users of any of these types of vehicles, light electric vehicles, they will need to know and follow the regulations for their vehicle category. We often get asked here, not so much about e-bikes, but it's always e-scooters. E-scooters come up a lot and, you know, what the rules are.
And we were in this vacuum, weren't we, whereby there was no actual real legislation, but they were... So that means they weren't permitted at all, really, in a lot of cases, particularly the e-scooters. So the questions were difficult to answer. You did fantastic, of course, as much as you could. But now we have a set of rules.
Yeah, and as you say, we were kind of in limbo before. Yeah, you know, we were trying our best to advise people, but I'm delighted now. The legislation now is in place. So we will run through just, I'm just going to give you a wee quick summary just about e-scooters in particular. So from yesterday, 20th of May, e-scooter users must be 16 years or older, obey a speed limit of 20 kilometres per hour, drive on the left. E-scooters are allowed in cycle or bus lanes and on local, regional and national roads. They must have lights, a bell or audible warning device.
Just a question in relation to that, right? So if I'm heading out the four lanes on, not the four lanes, sorry. If I'm heading out the dual carriageway on my e-scooter, do I go up the hard shoulder or do I just go on the right-hand side of the line?
Well, I would imagine, which I couldn't see anybody having any issue with you being on the hard shoulder, you know, with the fast moving traffic.
Right.
I wouldn't imagine.
I don't want to be on the road.
It's a wide guess on my part. I'll have to verify that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
But no, in an area I can understand, in an area where the traffic's quite fast moving, you know, and you're fearing you're putting yourself at danger and that, I can't see the issue there. But
right, good stuff.
Then I don't make the rules, so I will have to come back
to
you next week
on
a definite answer.
Yeah, okay.
I'll double check that one.
Right, sorry about that. Straight in with a tricky one. I didn't mean to.
No, you're okay. They must have lights, a bell or audible warning device, reflectors and brakes on their e-scooter, and it must be kept in a roadworthy condition at all times.
So I'm not making light of it. So you can't just sort of go, hee-haw, if you were on the scooter. It has to be something other than your own voice.
I suppose something similar, really, to a bike. It's the same sort of... Well, you can go hee-haw if you want, I suppose. If you can do it loud enough, tell their other.
I need more sleep. I'm sorry, Granny. I just need more sleep. Right, okay. No, this is important. I'm sorry.
No, okay.
Right,
so,
now.
Same as any other vehicle, it has to be kept in a roadworthy condition. You're out on the road, it has to be kept in a roadworthy condition.
And you have to obey the direction of people that are charged with, you know, controlling traffic, Gardaí, school wardens,
course,
for example.
Yep, you do. And you have to follow the same rules of the road that apply to cyclists.
I think really the catch-all for this is a lot of this really is a cut and paste from bikes, isn't it? Push bikes. Really,
it's,
a lot of it is,
similar.
Isn't it?
It's very similar.
In terms of, you know, because then people say, well, footpaths, it's the same with the rules of bikes. Culpability, it's the same with bikes.
Yeah.
Traffic lights, whatever you might do in a bike. It's really, I think that's the easiest way for...
It is. It's quite similar, actually, to the rules of the road for cyclists
on
regular push bikes.
Now, what can't... E-scooter
this probably is the most
do.
Important part, yeah. The e-scooter users must not use footpaths, pedestrianised areas or motorways, hold or use a mobile phone, have a seat on their e-scooter, and they cannot carry passengers or goods. And they said, look, this is just a quick summary.
Now, a school bag, I think we asked the RSA, you know, if you're heading to school and you have your school bag on your back, I don't think that's really classed as carrying goods,
no.
But if you're leaving curries with a 32-inch flat-screen TV,
I would say it's more.
It's a bit common sense, isn't it?
It's about a lot of it's common sense,
And you can't use footpaths, pedestrianised areas, again, places where already bicycles aren't. So if it's not designed for the use, you can't use them there. And as you mentioned, obviously, motorways, right? Moving on, quick summary.
Yeah, well, look, anybody who has any of these types of vehicles, e-scooters, e-mopeds, e-bikes, any of these, really and truly, the onus is on them to check out the regulations full and to ensure that they are going to be fully compliant with them. And I looked it up yesterday. There's actually a great summary of all the regulations on the RSA page, www.rsa.ie, or the gov.ie page also. They
have
can
you
check
noticed
those
any
out.
Increase in their usage yet? Because I think a proportion of maybe parents or guardians were holding back, you know, because they were illegal. But, I mean, this is actually really quite a good option for... I saw an e-scooter there the other day. I think it was €320 and it had a 28-kilometre range. Now, you might not achieve that. So, you know, for a bit of commuting, it's going to be really quite useful. We haven't spotted an increase in their usage yet.
Not yet, but I would imagine there possibly will be.
So,
I would say maybe people had purchased one. They were unsure, as we all were, really, about what the regulations were. And now that they are sure that they know that they're compliant, they'll take to the roads
I think that it's the regulations are far more generous than I was anticipating, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right, the Donegal Youth Awards took place last night.
Yeah, you nearly know I'm hoarse this morning.
Why?
I consider that a late night now. So yeah, the Donegal Youth Awards, Gardaí Youth Awards 2024 presentation took place at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town yesterday evening. The overall winners now will go on to represent Donegal at the National Awards ceremony. So I'm just going to run through the overall winners, and give them a wee congratulations on air this morning again. So the Community Safety Award, that was won by the 5th-year Safe Internet Day Ambassadors from St. Columbus College in Stranorlar. The Group Award winner was Class 3B Scullwara, Buncrana. Individual Award winner, Carmen Hernandez, Donegal Town. Special Achievement Award winner, Sean Boyle from Aranmore Island. And the Special Recognition Award went to Connor Callaghan from Deal College, Raphoe. So we want to wish all of these overall winners and all of the nominees, we want to offer them all our sincere congratulations and the best wishes for the future. And they all deserve a clap or a round of applause. They've all achieved great things, whether it be helping within their community or overcoming personal challenges. They're all to be commended. It's fantastic to see the youth getting recognition for all the good they do. I think we're quick to maybe point the finger at the youth teams and to judge them, and you know, it's great to see them getting a wee clap on the back and a well done for things that they are doing well, and there's so many of them out there doing well. And just on that note also, I would appeal to people next year when the Youth Awards are, when you see the nominations going out next year, please do nominate young people, because there's oceans of young people out there across Donegal that are doing fantastic things that aren't being nominated. The form isn't complicated. It's a matter of submitting a few lines. So,
I think really the difference is for those that nominated is they sort of get what you're nominating in terms of the young person's achievements or contributions. And I think maybe that's just the little part, the little connection that people don't say, that young person in your life, yes, you can nominate them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the only gap, because it's a fantastic thing. And the joy on The joy on the young people's faces and their families and guardians' faces was wonderful to behold.
Yeah, they're as proud as Punch, and rightly so. And as I say, they're all to be commended. And as there's loads of people actually out there too, young people that are doing maybe, look, they could be full-time carers for an adult at home, a family member, things like that. Things that people may not think, you know, will I send it in, will I not? Send it in, no matter if you see a young person doing good, send in the nomination.
Well, the nomination's not open at the moment, but we'll
tell you
when they are.
Yeah, well, okay. When they are opened up, we want to get an ocean of nominations in next year.
Why did you say
keep
ocean?
Us busy.
Why did you say ocean?
Wrong choice of words there now, I'm sorry.
Go on.
So we wish to extend our thanks to Judge Ethan Cunningham, to the Joint Policing Committee, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, for helping to make this year's Donegal Garda Youth Awards a success. We also wish to say a sincere word of thanks to our new sponsor who came on board this year, Supermax Ireland. We thank them for their generosity and for their support. Thank you also to John and all at the Abbey Hotel for so generously providing the venue for our ceremony. To Kevin Fury from Ocean FM for assisting with the music. And last but not least, a big thank you to Greg for
was
doing,
any good?
You were very good.
Do you think?
Excellent. So, I even enjoyed some of your jokes.
So if you were organising an event or something, would you recommend me as a compere or host?
I would highly, you come highly recommend.
From Ungodish Econ?
Oh, most definitely. I speak on the behalf Etain of the whole organisation now.
Can you speak on behalf of Judge Cunningham?
I don't know. You need to maybe to double check that one.
And there was a nice video played by Jim McGuinness and also Donegal goalkeeper Sean Patton, who also is a member of An Garda Síochána. A nice wee touch that the Donegal manager invited the nominees to a training session after the Tyrone game.
Yeah,
which I thought was lovely.
Yeah, and of course they were hoping to be there in person themselves last night to bring the cup in and to meet the young people and meet and greet them. But then, of course, look, they have a big game coming up this weekend and they're flat to the mat. So we understand that. But it was a lovely gesture. Yeah, they've invited all nominees,
isn't
not just
lovely?
The overall winners, but all nominees to the training grounds to meet the team and to meet Jim.
Wonderful.
So we wish, look, all our overall winners the very best at the National Awards later in the year. And once again, well done to all of the young people, all of them, whether they were overall winners or not. We applaud them all.
Okay, thank you very much.